Welcome to the Nicholas Natale Show. Today on the podcast, Lindsay Rummings. She's been slimed by Nickelodeon. She's a professional runway model. She graduated a semester early from SDSU and recently graduated with her doctorate in physical therapy. If that wasn't enough, she put on her own runway modeling show that combined her two worlds of physical therapy and professional modeling. She's super eager to use her platform to better the lives of others. Remember, head on over to nicholasnatale.com/shop to get yourself a Bird of Life sweatshirt. Also, there's some new merch in the store, some short-sleeved polos and tank tops. Put in the NN Show 20 for 20% off your order. If you like the podcast, just leave a 5-star review. Just do it, please. We want people to see those stars growing and the number of reviews growing. So if you listen to it every week, just please leave a 5-star review and become the reviewer of the week and be featured on the next episode. As always, this episode is sponsored by Little Webby LLC at littlewebby.com. Creates the best darn custom software, websites, and mobile applications. DM them on Instagram at Little Webby LLC and say we sent you for a free 30-minute consultation. Last but certainly not least, this episode is mixed and mastered by Mr. John Benny. As always, I'm the intern, you're the listener, this is Nick.
All right. Whew. Okay, we're going. We're rolling. This is happening.
We're doing big things.
Big things here. I'm going to hit them with an intro. Hello and welcome. This is the Nicholas Natale Show. I am your host, Nicholas Natale. Today we have a very special guest, Lindsay Rummings. Season's greetings, Lindsay.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you. And we're going to start off this conversation in, out of almost envy, you've lived a childhood dream of mine.
Not it.
of being slimed on Nickelodeon.
Yep, that did happen. That was a thing when I was younger.
I need to know this experience, because I want to know what the slime felt like. I want to know what the heck you were doing, because that's a dream right there.
I remember I think it was in Florida. And we were at a taping of something, and then on Nickelodeon, they were asking for volunteers who wanted to get slimed. And I was like, I've always seen this on TV. Like, why not? Like, why not me? And so raised my hand, and luckily I got chosen. And so I remember going backstage, getting my bathing suit on, and they're like, okay, we're going to put you in this swimming pool, and all of a sudden, green slime's going to come out. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's see what green slime feels like. And so went out in the middle, got slimed, and it felt like boogers. Felt like booger.
No. Oh, it's so gross.
So you're just like, oh, okay, here's all this slime, but no one else has been slimed before. So whenever someone asks me a fun fact, I've been slimed on Nickelodeon.
Oh, that's your icebreaker. So like, you have to go around in class. That's the one you're going to. Mm-hmm. I respect that. I need the details of this. People get slimed and nobody ever shows the aftermath. Like, does it stick in your hair? Does it get in, like, is it easy
to clean?
I
remember going backstage to the shower and it just runs and drips all over. So you're like scrubbing, it's in your hair. I think I had my hair in like a bun or something, but still got to put it down, wash it all out. Then forever remember, I have slime all over my body.
Nice. What a dream. Okay. All right. Sticking with the childhood. I actually don't know too many only children, and I believe you're an only child.
Yes.
What is something that people with siblings don't understand about only children?
Not all of us are spoiled. Like, we don't have to share with anybody else, but at the same time, we have so much love to give because we don't have to share that with other siblings. So with my friends, I consider them my siblings, but when they're fighting with their siblings, like my best friend, Kelsey, she's fighting with her brother. And I'm like, oh, you guys just duel it out. I'm going to go back home and chill, like nothing, and come back when you guys are done fighting.
Yeah. When everything is resolved. That is a pretty big perk of not having to deal with the animosity between siblings at times, the rivalry almost. Mm-hmm.
And then I can bring my friends to vacation with me and I can pick and choose. So if you're nice to me, let's go.
It's like picking and choosing your brothers and sisters. That's very smart, actually. I think I had a little bit of the best of both worlds. I have four siblings and they're all a lot older than me. Like the next youngest or closest in age is 10 years older. And then the oldest is 16 years older. So really, like my childhood, they were out of the house. But, you know, if I ever wanted to go see a sibling, I could, you know, I had That's the perks. True. So it's almost like I got to choose, but I didn't get to choose, you know, a little bit of, yeah. A little bit of everything. Do you ever wish you had siblings?
Yes, I do wish I had siblings, and I'm very lucky that I'm alive myself, because I know for my parents it took a lot for them to even have me, so I'm blessed that I have beautiful parents that love me and take care of me and help me through everything, so I'm okay with being an only child because it's made me who I am today.
Yeah, and your parents seem like they're a huge part in your life and in your story. Because everything I've seen so far, like your mindset is you dream big and you chase the big dreams that you have. And I imagine your parents like helped instill that in you in a way. So I'm kind of curious in that sense too, like you're a big dreamer, but also I imagine maybe your parents are also big dreamers, or how do they fit into the equation
of that?
They just
have always wanted the best for me and have supported me through whatever, whether it's gymnastics, ballet when I was younger, going through volleyball, going to San Diego from Colorado. They've always been supportive and been like, if you can dream it, you can do it. Like, why not try? Because if you don't try, you'll never know how far you could get.
That's for sure. Yeah.
So now I'm getting my doctorate of physical therapy, and they're still supporting me and cheering me on while modeling. Like, who could say that they have parents that support them in both of their dreams?
That's wild to me, too. You're about to be a doctor.
Dr. Lindsay.
That's nuts. How much longer until you graduate?
So I have 2 weeks left of this semester and then 6 weeks of summer school. And then I'll be finished with my didactic in-school learning and then a year of clinicals. So catch me May 2021, oh. Dr. Lindsay.
Oh, let's go. You're right around the corner. And you graduated early of your undergrad. How did you finagle that? How did you pull that off?
So in high school, actually, I took advanced chemistry and AP chemistry, and my professor happened to be accredited from one of the universities in Denver. So luckily I got credit with chemistry. Mm-hmm. So when I came to SDSU, I didn't have to take any chemistry. So I was pretty much ahead. So nice. I should have graduated in 3 years, but I wanted to take the honors program. And because I loved San Diego and college so much, that stayed three and a half years. So.
Yeah. Might as well stick around and enjoy it.
I really did.
I'm trying to figure out what to ask you next, because you have so many cool things that I could pick your brain about. Since we're on the topic of SDSU, I'm going to take a little detour, you know? I'm going to say, you went to China and studied at the number one university in China.
Yes.
That's got to be an experience.
It was a whole nother world over there. When I went over there, I went a week early just to get the lay of the land, and everything was... It was so much more crowded. There's no space, but going to the university, it's a closed university. Only the students could get on campus. And so once you get on the campus, it's so beautiful. A lot of the students were just studying most of the time because that's what they do in China. They wake up at 5 a.m., go to class, and then they don't go to bed till 10 p.m. And there's a 2-hour break, 1 hour for eating, and then 1 hour for nap time. That was my favorite.
And that's, so you're saying you have classes during that time, or it's just like nonstop on the go?
Usually you would have classes. So when I was there, I studied in Beijing and then took a 28-hour train ride to the Yunnan and then the Sichuan province. So 28-hour train ride, then a 5-hour bus ride to the province and taught high schoolers.
Wow. How was that? How were you received?
At that time, I had short blonde hair. And they couldn't figure, out. They were like, I know you're Asian. You're not Chinese. Like, what are you? And so I remember calling my mom one of the days, and I broke down in tears. I was like, everyone's looking at me. Everyone's staring at me. Like, I don't know if I like this. Like, people keep coming up to me. Like, I feel like an outcast. But then once they got to know me, everyone opened up. And I even got some love letters that were really beautiful.
Oh, man, please give me the deets on those.
One was about
like Confessions of the Heart kind of deal?
They're poetic. And so one of the letters was like, he was very smooth about it, asking for my WeChat number. He was like, oh, the numbers are very important. I believe we met on this date and the numbers here mean something, just like in the lottery. I think you would win if you gave me your WeChat number. And I was like, oh, you little sly dog.
Did he get it though?
He was my high school student. I was like, he like gave me the note and like ran away. So at least it was in a note and I didn't have to be like, oh no, sorry.
No, Your student, what boldness. I can't imagine, like, if I had a substitute teacher that I found attractive, I cannot imagine writing a love note to them and saying, hey, you know, why don't we have some extracurricular activity together?
And then it was cool with some of the other students that taught with me. They're from other universities in China, and they were so receiving of me. I had such an amazing time in China because of them. Whenever I felt lonely or I felt uncomfortable, they were there and they were like, it's okay. Like, we're here for you. Like, they made sure I was happy and comfortable the whole time.
Do you keep in touch with any of them?
I do, yeah. So I still have my WeChat. And then also some of the students, I did get their WeChat, and sometimes they message me. They're like, oh, we're doing good. And like, try to speak some English to me. Nice. And they're like, if you ever come back, let us know. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there.
That'd be great to make it back. The culture, so my friend and I, we took a trip to China, oh my gosh, it's already been a year, last January. But the culture was astonishing to me in a lot of different ways. But I think one of the oddest experiences that I had in China was me and my friend, we were going to the airport, and this guy was also going to the airport, you know, as you do on the same bus. What a coincidence. And he was saying, he was a tourist that had lived there for 2 years and he's finally going home. And he's like, there is an underground like market in the mall in Beijing, right? And he's like, it's three stories down. It's covered in like green vineyards, like you wouldn't know there's a door behind it, kind of deal, like a secret wall. Yeah. And so we're like, we had 3 hours there. We're like, we're gonna find this. Long story short, we end up finding this place. Like, we get to this vineyard wall and we're like, oh, that sucks, there's a wall but there's no door. And the next thing you know, the entire wall opens up and no words are said. Like, you can feel the tone of the room just sink into uncertainty, and they follow you around as you look at all of their goods. And we got too scared, and then
sounds about right. Whenever I would get lost in China, I would end up at a mall. There was like one mall that was like eight stories, and I was like, okay. And then I went shopping, so I was happy.
Were you a good haggler?
No, I really tried, and then I'd be like, fine. I was like, I know I can't get them down, but I ended up paying, I think, too much for some of the stuff I got.
Yeah.
They're brutal. They don't let you go. They're like, come back. And I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah. I don't need it that bad. This guy sold me a fake Rolex that he wanted for $100 USD. And I was like, sorry, man, that's not going to happen. He's like, all right, then walk away. And I was like, I only have $10 and I'm leaving today. And he's like, all right, I'll sell it to you. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah, but it's a great culture. Did you take anything from their culture that you started applying to your daily life here?
I think it's just being kind and respectful of other cultures. And maybe it's not something that you practice yourself, but if one of your friends or someone you know practice it, like, respect it. That's what I took away.
Dang. I like that. Okay, let's backtrack a bit. Because it seems to me like, and it's, you came from Colorado to San Diego, and it's almost like as soon as you hit San Diego, you started doing modeling, like you jumped right in. How does something like that just stir up while you're in school, right? You know?
I remember someone reached out to me and they were like, oh, I want to do a photo shoot with you. And I was like, like, that's kind of weird. Like, I heard horror stories about it. So I did it, and that was super fun. And it was a really nice girl, and she just wanted to take some photos in Ocean Beach. Like, I look very, it's
nice.
Not pretty photos of me. I thought I was hot, but mm-mm. And then I had a meet and greet group kept messaging me. They're like, oh, like, come to our meet and greet photography group. And I was like, that's even more sketchy. Like, way more photographers. Like, the yeah. And I kept saying no, and I kept saying no. And finally, my friends were like, you should just do it. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, can some of you come with me? So I had friends come with me just to make sure it was safe and sound. And it was smart. Actually really cool. I met a lot of photographers, makeup artists. And from there, I just branched off. I love getting to know people. So when I'm at shoots, I get to know them. I'm like, hey, like, what do you do? What is your day job? Why'd you get into photography or makeup artist? And then I form a friendship. Yeah. And then whenever they hear about jobs, it's through the word of mouth. So I haven't signed with an agency. Oh. I freelance. And so I moved to San Diego knowing absolutely no one. And through modeling and through school, I can probably go anywhere now in San Diego and I know someone. So all my friends can attest to that. We're somewhere. Wow. And we were at a Sushi Coochie in PB. And this girl was like, oh, can you take a photo of us? And I was like, sure. And then afterwards, they were like, are you rumming through the six? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And my friend's like, this happens everywhere we go. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
It's a great problem to have. I was... Go.
All the modeling stuff. I've done so many cool runway shows, fashion shoots. People always ask me which one's my favorite, but they're all my favorite for different reasons. Like, I worked for Redken in Vegas. That's when I went blonde and they chopped my hair to my shoulders. And then I've done breast cancer walk shows. And so there is a designer in San Diego. She creates swimsuits for women that have survived breast cancer, which is really awesome. So I got to model on that show and talk to all those survivors, and just hearing their stories inspire me and want me to dream big for people that can't dream big or haven't been able to.
Yeah. And that's another cool thing that I've seen in like your modeling career, is like you're tying in like a good cause a lot of the times. Like, a lot of the opportunities that you have, like, pair with something that's going to impact the community or inspire other people. So that's really cool. I really like that a lot. But going back to you knowing people, I got to ask this. It seems like you're in Vegas and you know DJs because you're always behind the booth. What's up with that?
Yeah, I get to know them once I like go behind stage. Like, I personally like talk to them, and I talk to them like they're normal people. I'm like, yeah, you're a DJ. That's cool. Like, I like your music, but I actually like you as a person. Like, I'm not trying to sleep with you. I'm not trying to gain any benefit from them. And so a lot of them have noticed that, and they're like, you're cool. Like, why not? And so friendships with them they're super important to me. It's just like any day and everyday people that they're nice and they just have a cool talent of DJing.
Yeah. You touched on something that struggle with is the right word, but like, let's say you meet somebody that is like, they are successful in their field. A lot of times I meet somebody and I'm the same as you. Like, I care about them as an entire individual, but part of me wonders in their mind, oh, this person just somebody wants something else from me. And I'm wondering how you kind of navigate through that road of like showing that person, hey, like, I see you for who you are and not the success that you're hiding behind.
I just talk about real life stuff. Like, I talk about my stories and their struggles and their successes. I don't necessarily talk about that ask. Like, if it's a DJ, I don't talk about their music. I talk about real life events, like what they ate for dinner, like what their favorite memory has been, where they've traveled to, like just a normal conversation. And then they're realizing that I don't mention anything about music. They're like, oh, shoot, like, This girl's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's a good way to go about it. I definitely appreciate that notion. Because I think I've created some friendships that are like, I don't know. Like, I see their success and I want to encourage them in those ways. But at the same time, I don't want them to like feel obligated to me in any way.
Yeah, you hype them up when they are doing good. You're like, yeah, that's my friend. which I totally do. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, they're my friend. Like, so what? They're just another individual. They pee, they poop, they do all the above. So they're human.
You don't get starstruck?
No. Okay, the one time I got starstruck was at EDC. And then, did you ever watch The Walking Dead?
I've seen like one episode. So right. I understand
so
the concept.
So there's Carl, the son of Rick. And he's now a DJ. Mm-hmm. And my best friend and I were at the VIP pit. And then all of a sudden I see this guy and it looks like Carl. And I like kept looking over and I was like, that's Carl. Like, I was so excited. I didn't go up to him, but on the inside I was like, oh my gosh. Not that I like am in love with him. It's just, I didn't expect him to see him there. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. A familiar face. But you met Diddy. And you said Beyonce has noticed you. What is that about?
Yeah, so when I went to Beyonce's concert, I've gone twice. I think the last time was in 2018 or 19. My years get mixed. Mm-hmm. But we were in the VIP pit, like very close to the stage. And one of Beyonce's stylists came up to me. I have different stylists that I can have style me for events, which is super awesome. So one of my friends, Angel, she styled me for the event. I wore a violet pink curly wig, pink outfit with like fun bell bottoms. And she came up to me and she was like, hey, like, I really like your style. And I was like, oh, thank you. She's like, just to let you know, I'm Beyonce's stylist. And I was like, okay. Like, thank you. Thanks for noticing. So that was really cool.
She didn't sign you on the spot?
I wish.
Come on. She can't throw out a compliment like that and not follow up.
I was in shock and I was like, oh, okay. Thank you. Like, this means a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Beyonce stylist.
But Beyonce rocked that concert and she's a great performer.
I hear some rumor that she spent like 2 years preparing for a particular concert that I don't know if that's true or not. But I imagine
all the production she puts in, like any of the touring artists, like to be, everyone wants you to be perfect. So to strive for perfection, you have to, it's just like everyday jobs. You have to keep practicing, keep practicing. That's what makes it perfect.
Yeah. Do you feel any pressure in that regard with your modeling career?
Of course, yes. I strive for perfection. I'm a type A person. So I like, even in school, I like to try to strive to be perfect. And looking at my photos, I critique what I could do better. Like my hand was this way. My face would have been that way. It's like those almost photos. Like, oh, that would have been a great photo. But like this little thing happened or this little, like your tie on your neck is wrong or just one little detail. But other than that, I just, I use it as an opportunity to learn. And if we learn from our mistakes, or not mistakes, but just from our imperfections, then we can better ourselves the next time. That's how we grow.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a way to practice modeling? Like the craft of modeling itself?
Yes. So it's silly, but like you can practice in the mirror. You can practice your facial expressions. And you can also, you can use your phone and put it on self-timer mode and like take a video and practice poses. And you can see what poses look best on your body. And so if that pose you did, you were like, oh, like I don't look good at all. Like you're not going to bring that into your modeling set of poses you already have in your head. So usually shoots will have a theme.
Yeah.
And so when they give, usually they give a mood board. And so I like come up with poses beforehand and like, how I, if I'm in a skirt, how I can model that compared to pants. So there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I think not a lot of people realize. Yeah, like I'm a pretty girl per se, but I also have practiced all of my moves and my smiles, my facial expressions to get the best picture possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I would also imagine. It's like there is a sense of like, when you have a professional model on set, they come onto the set and they, you know, they're getting work done. They know where, how to move, what to do, where to look kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that comes with a lot of practice.
And changing. So I've done one shoot for a Thai silk company and I changed probably 40 times. So you have to change like this, pose, change. And so you're seeing me running around in heels, changing to the next outfit, going like five poses next, and then you just got to be efficient. That, because that whole day it was, I started at 8 and ended at 5, so crazy.
Jeez, you're like a, you're like the magician's lady where they get inside the tube and then they, it's somebody's change. Voila. Is it like that? That's how quick you got
like it. Yeah. And so on shoots sometimes I go, they're like, you change so fast. And I was like, well, during runways and some of the shoots I've done, like, you don't have time to dilly dally. You got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mess around here. All right. No. You know,
not today.
Speaking of runway, I want to know the details. I'm curious about the culture of runway modeling. Like, how are the people? How is the atmosphere?
So, you know? I can start off with castings. I remember I've gone to some that I actually haven't made because they have a yellow line on the wall. And if you do not meet that yellow line, you will not be walking. Like, I'm tall, but I'm not that tall. So when I don't hit that yellow line, like, I've had tears. I've spilled tears because I'm not tall enough. And I'm like, it hurts. But you get back up and go again, go to the next fashion show casting call. And when you're there, sometimes you have rehearsals. And so there's actually, like, special runway walks, like, which is crazy. And so we practice the order, how you'll walk, make sure your walk is appropriate for the fashion show. If it's sassy, if it's smiley and bubbly, just however the designer wants.
Yeah.
And so once you have rehearsal, you get to meet some of the girls. The girls, luckily, that I work with, they're all uniquely beautiful. And I've met mostly all nice girls, like, not the typical stuck up ones you think. They're all there for a reason. They love modeling. This is maybe not what they do for their job, but there's also girls that do this for their job. And I support them 100%. And I love hearing about their stories and what they have gone to be at this point. So each of us are learning from each other, which is really cool. And then show day, you have to get there so early, and you're in a room waiting for hair and makeup. And some, I'll get on it later, but so you wait for hair and makeup. When there's someone that's free, you go to them, get your hair and makeup done. And that, it can honestly take half the day because there are so many girls, and depending if they plan it correctly, they'll have enough hair and makeup artists. But if they don't, it takes forever. Yeah. And with runway, it's not a photo shoot. They're not taking close-up photos. So you want to have good enough makeup for the runway, but you don't want a full face of makeup that takes an hour, because each girl would take an hour and that take all day. And, oh, we missed the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So once hair and makeup's done, you are just waiting. Hopefully they feed you lunch. Sometimes we're not fed lunch. Yeah.
Oh, my, how is that legal?
They'll bring carrots and celery, and you're like, okay, wanted a big pizza or something. But it's fine.
Here's a stick from a tree that you can nibble on.
And then it's like halfway through the day, and then sometimes you have rehearsal again if no one's there. If not, they're just like, okay, let's get dressed. So we put the outfits on, and then it's showtime, and you blink, and it's over. So sometimes runway doesn't go, we didn't change the outfit fast enough, like, this girl didn't do this. So, like, you have to improvise, and you have to be okay with improvising, because things aren't going to go your way. I learned that when I put on my own fashion show. Like, you think you have time, and then you don't have time, and you're like, go out, like, just go do something, like, be a filler. And so that's what I've learned. Like, you can plan to the best of your ability, but you need to learn how to improvise on the fly.
Was that tough for you with a type A personality? Like, originally, did you want things to be like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this? And then...
Yeah, but then also, if they communicate it, you know, if you communicate with us, like, that's amazing. But a lot of times, the communication gets lost, because I know the fashion director is having to do other stuff. But when you have the communication and you communicate what you want from me, oh, heck yeah, like, I will do that. But when there's no communication, all of us are just twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah. What's next? What are we really doing here?
And so, like, at the end of the day, if it's a runway show for a cause, you're like, you know, I'm here, I'm supporting the cause. Like, it's fine. The fashion show will go well. But if it's like a LA or Orange County Fashion Week, they're like, nope, like everything's got to go. Let's do it. So.
Jeez.
Right yeah, it was right cool. Now. There was one in Orange County that I did for Fashion Week, and it was a silent fashion show. So, you know, like silent disco, everyone has the headphones on. The only thing about that was they all had the headphones on and the models didn't. So I didn't know how to walk because I didn't know the beat. And so, like, what if it's like a slow song and I'm like,
oh, gosh.
And everyone. And they're like, what is this girl doing? Like, we didn't even get to hear the song. So, like, I'm walking out. And that was a long runway that we had to go, like, in and out and all over. And I was like, I have no idea what the music is. So I'm going to walk how I want
it. Yeah. That's, man, they sabotaged you.
You know, you live, you learn. But it was a fun time.
What a cool idea, though. Like, I love that idea of a silent runway. That's super creative. It definitely changes the experience of things. Does. Have you seen the video of those? And I am curious if you've ever done, like, a super crazy, outlandish walk. But the video of the two guys that walk up together and then they grab each other and they both lean back like they're a table. Like, they intertwine. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Those cool ones. I haven't done anything cool. There's been ones when I've done, like, sassy walks and we can dance at the end of the runway. But I'm not that creative, so.
Let's think of your next big runway walk. I think maybe like a, has anybody done any front flips? Any aerials in high heels?
Not yet. I actually have walked in the, do you know those heels that don't have heels? Like, it's kind of inverted.
Yeah.
So when I walked for the Redken runway show in Vegas, we had a revolving platform. That we had to first walk onto the stairs of the stage, and then there's a revolving platform that you have to get on. And I don't have, they were actually comfortable, but I was like, I don't have any heels. It's a heel without heel on a revolving platform. Let's see how it works. I didn't fall, goodness sake. Yeah. But
there you go.
I could have.
Nice. That seems like a contraption, a spinning stage like that. It's like something at the fair, you know?
Just on and off. And I was like, okay. This is either going to go really awesome or not.
Yeah.
Or face plant and you.
But who knows? Maybe it'll. I don't know. I was going to say it could go viral. And next thing you know, that's your full time
falling on stage.
We want that girl.
I bring life, you know.
Yeah. Has there been a big difference in the mindset between the people or the models that are full time right now, like this is their job, and then the other people that are like this is what they love to do? Have you seen the difference in that?
There's some, like, they know that this is a job, like this is what they do, and so they're here for one reason, and they might not talk to you as much, but other than that, once you get them to open up and like take advice from them and give them advice, then they're like, oh, thank you. Like, they wonder how I get all these jobs, everyone, like, not knowing anyone to knowing so many people. Everyone's curious about that.
Yeah. Very well networked. That's a impressive thing to do, because one of my thoughts was like, you're booking gigs, and I'm like, you either have to have a great manager or like know the right people, but it seems like you're just very well networked, which is even better, I'd say. Now you're not tied down to agencies.
Right.
Rules.
Yeah. I used to look for jobs. There was like, there's Facebook pages, like people on Instagram looking for models. But now luckily people come to me and I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Less work I have to do.
Yeah. So even those runway shows you're getting headhunted for?
Yeah. So a lot
that's
of
crazy.
Them I've now like, they'll ask me beforehand. And so I don't even have to go to the castings, which I hate. So I like get to skip that part and I like walk in and I'm like, have fun with the castings. I'll see you guys in there.
You're like a rapper without a label, you know, you're doing it all independent.
Yep, holding myself.
I respect the hustle. All right. I got to ask this question. So you've walked the red carpet for the Oscars after party. Did you get to attend the Oscars after party?
I did, yes. And so that was super fun. I didn't stay for that long because I had a test next day in class because Oscars are on a Sunday. And so it was really cool to see all the different celebrities that were there and like be interviewed on the red carpet and meet some really awesome people. I remember they had a little doggy. It's a famous dog that like rides in a Jeep that just goes around that everyone wants to take pictures with. Like it's a hoop there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so they're just a weird little, you have to stand in line for the red carpet. What's interesting, like there's a line to get in the red carpet and like have your sign on the name and crazy.
I'm just trying to figure out how I would take in an experience like that, because I imagine there's tons of people taking photos.
Tons. You know?
Like it's a whole thing. Was walking the red carpet the first time like a, oh man, I'm walking the red carpet. Like this is really happening to me right
now. Yeah, you're just like, it's surreal. Kind of you're like, hello everyone, I'm so awesome. But then I'm like, am I awesome? And then you're like, no, I'm here. Like I deserve to be here. I've worked this hard. So.
Yeah. Man. It's I think moments like that are like so necessary in any career almost. Like when you work so hard at something, like once you're in the moment of being at a place like that, like it's so good to just take it in.
Soak it in and just feel the sunshine while you can. Because the next day you have school.
Yeah. Yeah. And back to reality almost. So, okay. You are getting your doctorate in physical therapy.
Correct.
About to be a doctor. But what you've done recently is you combined both of these worlds.
I did.
Mm-hmm. You know? You did. I want to know more about this combination.
So actually in one of our summer classes, we were supposed to come up with a leadership plan, and it was supposed to be like 5 to 10 years down the road. And I sat there and I was like, what is something I could do? Like, I don't necessarily want to be a teacher. I don't want to own a private practice outpatient PT. And I was like, oh, I model. Like, can I do something with modeling? And so I thought about all the runway shows that I've been with. And I was like, what if I created a runway show? And I was like, but what would the runway show be about? How do I mix that with PT? And so I was like, I have done a lot of work with the adaptive community. And I was like, what if I have a fashion show for people in the adaptive community, for people that have various abilities? And so I presented the plan in class, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you should totally do that. And then I was like, I should, but I shouldn't wait 5 to 10 years. Like, I have the resources and the contacts and the mindset now. Like, why don't I do it? And so over the summer, I kept brewing over it. And then fall came and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put together this fashion show. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fix all the things that I don't like with the fashion shows that I go to. And so luckily I had an amazing professor, Dr. B, and then my classmates that were very supportive in helping me create this dream. And so spring came. And now I had to get my butt together because March 1st, my show was about to come alive. And I called it Boundless because we have no boundaries. Like, no one can set limits for us. Like, no matter if you're able-bodied, if you have different abilities, no matter who you are, no one can say no to you. Like, that's something I'm really big about. Yeah. And so we came up with the word Boundless. And so we came up with the idea of having not just one ability shown. So we had models with cerebral palsy. We had with, what else was it? One of my friends that I used to model with, she was in a parasailing accident and she stopped modeling. And I wanted her to get back into modeling, and I know she has. So I invited her to be in the show. So we just had so many abilities. It was so cool. And so I made sure that the models, I brought breakfast for the models. I brought lunch for the models.
Nice.
And what I've learned with fashion is, as we know, fashion likes to be fashionably late. And that's one thing that bugs me, because I have learned throughout my time, you need to be early. Like, to be on time is to be late. And so I made sure to tell everyone to be there an hour early so we could eat breakfast, get to know each other, and the models could get to know each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you plan for that. Like I said, it doesn't always go how you plan, but at least I, in my head, mentally plan for an hour before we can do hair and makeup. And then I sent out an email. I had a Google Doc. I assigned makeup artists and hairstylists to each model. So you're not just sitting there like how I was like, okay, who's the next open one? And then I wanted us to use our time efficiently. And yet there was still not enough time, but we got everyone in hair and makeup. But I really liked how everyone worked together. Like, I am so thankful for the time that the volunteers donated, that the hair and makeup artist donated, the stylist, like everyone donated their time out of their, I think it was a Sunday, to create this beautiful show. I had videographers, I had photographers, like they rocked that runway. Like, we had practice sessions, and I just remember the first time they watched me and they're like, I can't do that walk. Like, I'm not you. Like, I've never modeled. And I'm like, okay, like, let's do it. And so we practiced, and I remember they were so shy at first. They're like, this is silly. And then when they got on that stage, they showed who they were, and all around, they're beautiful, smart, intelligent, kind women. And we had one male model there too, and his dad. And so they showed how resilient they are, that life, has dealt them a difficult hand, but they grew and they're showing the world who they are. And so I've just learned so much from them. Like, I'm about to cry just talking about this, because they're whole people and they're beautiful and boundless, which is super cool. And so I can't wait to make it an annual thing. So that's what I want to do every year.
Yeah.
Boundless. So next year, hopefully when the world's open again, next March, we'll put it together again, and fix all the stuff that didn't go as well, and then improve the stuff, and then add some more things to better it every year.
That's such a huge deal, and you pulled it off. That's amazing.
I pulled it off, and I had 200 guests. Like, that's so crazy. 200 people.
Oh my gosh. That's nuts. Yeah,
from that, it was just a little pipe dream. It's supposed to be 5 to 10 years down the line, and I was like, nope, here, let's go.
I love that. Yeah, that's incredible. That is amazing. I'm somewhat speechless by that.
And so then now really, what really is cool. Like, cool from the after is that some of the girls want to pursue adaptive community modeling. And so, like, that one girl came up to me. She was like, I never thought that anything like this was possible for me. And, like, asked me, is there such thing as a community for the adaptive population for modeling? And I said, there is. And so I have a lot of them that are going to go pursue some modeling careers. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, I helped influence them that way. So that's heartwarming.
Yeah. And incredibly rewarding, you know, to be able to take your talents and your skills that you have and the resources and put it into something that big to do something good. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wild. That's actually wild. So, fantastic. What obstacles did you hit along the way trying to put something together that was so large that you had to overcome?
I think show day, of course, I knew was going to be the most difficult, because myself had all the information in my head, but I like needed to delegate all the tasks to. But when people, a lot of my volunteers are fellow classmates, so they don't necessarily have the fashion mindset and like how to design the set or how to do this and how to do that, like what I envisioned. And so I could communicate that to them, but like putting together the stage or the auction basket or getting the models, like, make sure they're all good, they were a little like, oh, like, how does this go? And so maybe I'll have an assistant in the future, like, that I can give the information to. Because if you saw me, I was running around like crazy. I was, like, from the dressing room to the stage room to the soundboard, like, making sure everything went well if I had an assistant or, like, three more people or two more people, like, my co-people, then I could pull it off, that had the fashion knowledge. Like, I'm so happy that all my classmates helped and attended the show, but like having more fashion people too, that they could maybe like partner up so they could both have the view mm-hmm. would be amazing. And it was awesome because I didn't end up, I got my hair done, but there was no time for makeup because it was showtime. And it was cool because that was the first yeah. fashion show that like I've ever been in that I didn't have any makeup on. So that was like, I showed oh, wow. who I was. Like, I'm beautiful. Like, I'm imperfect. Like, I'm naturally Lindsay. Like, that's okay. Like, makeup yeah. just enhances you and you don't need it, but you know, it's nice to put on and like dress up, but you don't need it.
How perfect of timing is that though? It's almost like the catalyst of your, or the peak of all of these things that you had been working toward came together.
It did.
And in that moment, I feel like you probably got to enjoy it, you know, like just the fact that it was that way.
Mm-hmm. And it was my best friend surprised me from Colorado and with my parents. And that meant the world to me that my parents had her come and that she was there to see, like, she's been my best friend, my family since fifth grade. And she was there to see and meet all my friends from San Diego. So like my Colorado and my San Diego life came together. Everything's just coming together perfectly.
Yeah. Was there any concern at that point? Because it was in March that Corona was going to affect it or any way? Was that started to
nope,
be speculation
yet? Yeah. So luckily when March 1st, there was talks about it, but like, but not when the crazy scare started to hit. So I'm very thankful I planned it when I did.
Yeah, because that was my first thought. I was like, oh my gosh, like trying to plan like a months of planning into this event.
Yeah.
So I too am happy that it was able to be pulled mm-hmm. off.
I agree with you.
Okay, we're going to move on to another portion of the podcast. A whole new section, a never been done section on the podcast. So we have two sections on the podcast. One is a lightning round where we ask questions really quickly and you answer under 60 seconds. We're not doing that. And then we have a controversial corner where we discuss controversial topics, mm-hmm. but we're not doing that either. We're doing a whole new thing called titillating topics. I don't know if that's the best title for it, but that's what we're going with.
Woo-hoo.
So yeah, titillating topics here. You and I are going to discuss some hard-hitting questions and answers.
Let's do it.
So, all right. The first, I'll give you the choice. Do you want something a little silly or do you want something a little thought-provoking? Your pick.
Let's do thought-provoking.
Oh, shoot.
Were you ready for silly?
I wasn't ready for either. The question is, what do you think the hardest part about being an adult is?
I think it's just managing yourself, that like you have to be accountable for yourself, like your health, your money, your job. Like there's so much that you have to do on your own. And like, it was cool when you were younger, like we just talked about this in class, that you had your parents there to make sure you did this, brush your teeth, did that. And then adulthood, yeah. like, no one's doing that. You have to figure it out on your own. You have to stumble, you have to cry a little bit, but then like realize that, okay, life goes on, let's go.
Yeah, I agree. I think like there's just always a responsibility, you know, and that never really goes away. So it's like this, like what you said, like ownership or responsibility of all times is my answer as well. Next question of titillating topics. What do you think the hardest part about being a man is?
Being a man. Well, nowadays, guys suck. They don't about dating life. That's what I had to bring up and bring in. Now, when you're in the talking phase, you're not dating. You're in the talking phase. Ooh. And then I think, for guys maybe navigating and finding themselves like within like in their 20s, like they're trying to get to know themselves and who they are. Like they're like, oh, I want to be a free man. Like, I don't want to be in a relationship. But like, is that really, like, I don't know what's going through their mind. Like they can't really show their emotions. Like they're this tough guy. They're young and single and fresh. But like, I feel like in their mind, things are going on. Like, I really care about this person and I want to be with them. Like, I also want to be single. So I feel like that struggle that they have in their mind is something I think that is hard for them that we women don't necessarily see.
Yeah. That's a good answer. I don't know. When I wrote that question, I pondered it myself. I don't know what the hardest part of being a man is. I think you probably touched on it a lot, is like the difference in the ability to express emotion is like, yeah, probably tougher for men just because it's like not as normalized as we're growing up. And then the expectation in a romantic relationship or probably any relationship is like you're expected to express emotion, but you don't really know how.
That's true.
I think the hardest part, the hardest part about being a woman, I think at least one of, I don't know if I can define the hardest, but I think probably like just creepers, dealing with creepers all the time. Like,
you're so right. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's pretty hard, and how you deal with it respectfully and not make them mad. I think there are just so many things that go through my mind when there's like a guy that's creeping. I'm like, okay, like gotta get away. Like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
But not have them look mad.
But then it's like a safety concern at some point, you know? That's the part that I think is probably really hard for women, is like, it's not only is this guy creeping, it's like, now I feel concerned for my safety a little bit.
No, I've had that happen where I've felt my safety was at, like in high school, it was really scary. But now we're okay. No guys have creeped on me to that point. But yeah, I've been to that point where you feel your safety is not okay.
Yikes. What would you say your worst date was?
My worst date. I feel like most of them actually have gone well. It's just that. Yeah.
No, that's good.
I'm trying to think. No, I've had fun on all my dates, but it's just after when they're like, oh, I really like you. And then they disappear. You're like, thanks, bud.
Pal. Thanks. Thanks. Skip.
Just like that. What about yours?
Okay. I think, oh man, my worst date. What a question. I wish I would have thought through some of these answers myself. Worst date. Okay. I got one for you. Worst date, right? I had a crush on this girl and, you know, I asked her, hey, let's go to the movies. This is in high school, so I don't want any of this to like come to my reputation now, but whatever. And, so I asked her and I was like, let's go to the movies. And she was like, yeah, that sounds great. Sounds nice. So already, you know, that's a good, good point. One point for me. But then I show up and she's got 7 of her friends there. So it's not just me and her that I thought it was. And I'm completely clueless as to whether this is a date anymore, you know? But then, okay, so then we're in the movie and I'm sitting next to somebody I don't know. And then also the girl that I would like to go on a date with or whatever. And I'm trying to have conversation, but then the movie starts and then it's like, well, now what do I do when I'm surrounded by all your friends?
Yep.
But I think also I, at that time as a ripe 16-year-old, I don't think I probably handled socially it very well, but it gets worse, I think, in my opinion. So the movie ends and then her friends are all going to get frozen yogurt. And they politely asked me if I wanted to go. I tag along because I'm trying to impress the girl. And it is just so painfully uncomfortable the entire time. That's my worst date story, I think.
That's funny. The movies, I think about how many dates when I was in high school, I would go to the movies. And I'm like, you can't even talk to them. Like, why was that a thing, like a date thing? Because you're trying to get to know a person and you're just like, nope, never mind, movie time.
Yeah. And, like, do you throw in witty one-liners the whole night? That's all you got, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, I did see on your Instagram, you had a caption once that said, if you need cute date ideas, ask you, what's a cute date idea?
Oh my gosh. Maybe at that time I was feeling more creative. Oh no, I do remember that. It's because my roommate and I, all throughout college, we would go on fun roommate dates and we're like, wow, this would be so fun to go to with a real guy. I was like, I love you. Yeah. I'm a great roommate and everything, but you know, this would be better with a guy. I think with photo shoots, I've gone to so many cool venues. Like, I think December nights is probably one of my favorite date night ideas in Christmas, or just, it doesn't even have to be during December night, the actual date they have, but like Balboa at nighttime with all the Christmas stuff is just so gorgeous. And
yeah,
every time I just woon over it, I'm like, ooh, this is so pretty.
If only
Prince Charming was next to me. Or going to the strawberry fields up in Carlsbad. That's super fun. And like, you get strawberries and you're on a date, like getting to know each other, walking around fields. How fun.
Oh, shoot. I didn't know strawberry fields were a thing. I've known they're flower fields, but I didn't know they'd get all strawberries.
My godparents just went the other day. I think they're still open. But that's a fun date idea. And then you could get chocolate and make chocolate covered strawberries.
Dang. You got the whole shebang. I like it. It's all thought out. Okay. I think that concludes titillating topics. I feel adequately titillated about those topics.
Me too.
I'm going to have to think of a better catchphrase than that, I think. But what are you going to do? Okay. We're approaching. We're nearing. We're bringing the train to the end of this podcast. Got two questions left for you. First question is, what's the ultimate dream for you? You're going to get your doctorate in physical therapy, and you have this continuing to boom modeling career. What's the peak?
There is no peak. But what?
Wow.
My professors are very supportive of my modeling career, and they want me to also get my doctorate in physical therapy, which I want to do. And they're trying to help me come up with a way how I can match the two. So they're like, maybe I work seasonally as a PT, like outpatient, and then like the rest of the year I can do modeling stuff and travel and do all that I have to do. Or another thing would be, one of my professors was like, why don't you be like a Victoria's Secret model? And you could also be their personal PT they would go to, or like modeling agencies go to. So it's like a 2-for-1. Like, you get a model and you get a PT because with models, we're holding these poses weirdly. We're in runway on uncomfortable high heels. Like, your model's going to break down. And so if I can market myself in that way and be like, hey, like, you get a bang for your buck. You get me as a model and a PT. Like, I know the ins and outs of what models have to go through. And so wouldn't you want your model to see someone that knows exactly what they're doing?
Yeah. That's like prime. That seems like the prime way to still do both.
And so, models have their own gait and their own walking mechanics. Like, I can make sure they're biomechanically efficient and stuff like that. So I just have to create it. Like I said, if you don't think it, it'll never come about. Like, I want to be the first person that creates something like that.
Yeah. I would love to see that. And it seems like you have the knowledge to do it and the experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it'll happen.
Me too.
I'm sure it'll happen. The final question of the podcast is, what would you say to someone who had the skills to accomplish anything they could hope to accomplish, but didn't have the mindset to do it? What would you tell them?
They don't have the mindset. That's like the number one important key. Well, I guess the nerd in me is going to come out. Like, the behavior change motivation, that you want to go back and see like why, what is stopping them from having that mindset, and going back and seeing in the preparation phase, like, how can we change this goal to something you can change your mindset that you can do? So you have that dream. So maybe break that dream down a little bit and step by step to something manageable. So when you're back in that preparation phase, that you can prepare a goal that is reasonable, a SMART goal, basically. And so once you see that vision of a smaller goal, maybe your mindset could be changed that yeah, like I can reach this little goal. And each time work up and work up, and your motivation will go from a 3 to maybe a 5. And then with the next goal, it'll go to a 7. Yeah. And so I think we have to get that mindset there, because why are you even going for a goal if you don't have the mindset for it? So what's the purpose?
Right. Start at the root. Start at the core of where you can actually get going from.
We all have to start somewhere. That's how I was with modeling. I cringe at all my old photos, but I started there, and I'm proud of who I was and who I'm becoming now.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have to train your mindset in any way? Because I feel like modeling is something you continue to build your confidence in.
Yes. Like, I've definitely... I wasn't confident in myself for a very long time. Like, I was made fun of as a kid. I had buck teeth and was made fun of for that. And so I feel like that mindset has always been in me, that I'm ugly, I'm not enough, like not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm just not enough. And then modeling has brought out, like, sometimes it can bring out the ugly side in people. But for me, modeling has been a confidence builder and booster. I, of course, have been to those shows that I don't qualify for, but then I reinvent myself and, like, how can I better myself for the next show? Maybe apply to one that's better for me that I could actually fit in. And then each time I learn more about myself, what my body can do, like what I am capable of. And that's a lot. There's so much I'm capable of that I just need to tap into my inner potential. And then the world is surprised. And I was like, oh, like lately I've been doing a lot of workouts and people didn't realize how strong I am. But you don't always see, you only see usually one or two sides of people. But for me, there's so many different sides. Yeah. I'm a daughter. I'm a friend. I'm a doctor, a physical therapy student. I'm a model. And you don't always see that. So you can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I've been telling people that too, especially with this podcast. Like, one of the hardest things to do in a podcast is to encapsulate how great somebody is from a 360 view. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, exactly what you're saying. There's so many layers to a person. And also what you're saying of, like, there really is no limit as to what somebody is capable of. But being able to display that and being able to, like, see that in people, it's tough to do. But if you see it in yourself, that's probably the whole battle.
That's the first step. If you, like, loving yourself and accepting you for who you are is the first step. And if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love others or spread kindness to others?
Love it. Lindsay, thank you for being on the show. I actually, you know what? I don't always give prizes out, but I will give a prize. I hear you like mangoes, and I hear you like a chocolate bar. So you're going to get a mango and a chocolate bar. I don't know how that's going to happen, but at some point you will get those things. I'll give you a certificate for one mango and one chocolate bar.
That's all I need in life.
Love it. Where can we find you on the
internet?
You
can find me. I actually have two accounts on Instagram. You can find me at Rumming Through the Six with M's, like the rum you drink, and then at Linz1223. So both accounts are both me. So don't freak out if you see two accounts of mine. They're both myself. One's for modeling and one's for more personal use.
Sweet. I will put it in the show notes and all of that, links and good stuff like that. Lindsay, thank you for being on the show.
Pleasure. Bye. Bye.
Well, guys, that was the episode. Thank you for listening. Next week, Friday, 6 a.m., Nick's birthday episode with guest himself, Nicholas Natale. This guy is always working on something, and he is very, very talented. So tune in next week, and he's going to be chatting about leadership. See you next week.